Chapter 12. Me, Gabe Veltri, and a Squid. Like all ugly things, Fremont Street is uglier when the sun is bright. This Saturday noon, it is scorchingly ugly. "Why are we downtown?" whines Adam Egott. "You'll see," I say, reaching over to lean on the horn. A moment later, a man emerges from an apartment building and walks briskly toward us. The man is Gabe Veltri, a professional poker player. He makes a fine living at the Aria Poker Room playing Limit Hold'em, where he joylessly books his 60 hours a week. When the market tumbled a few years back, Gabe went bottom feeding and snatched up a property here on Fremont Street, where the hustlers and whores beg and cajole. When he's in Vegas, this is his home, except for the times I'm in town, and then he stays with me in my comped suite. What I like about Gabe is there's no gamble in him. We walked by a roulette table at Caesar's one time, and when I asked Gabe to guess the number, he said 26, and the wheel spun, and lo and behold, the little silver ball landed on 26. We hadn't placed a bet, but the table had heard his guess, and everybody was going nuts. I said, "Gabe, how much do you wish you'd bet a grand on 26? "Not at all," he said, and kept walking. Now that's rare, and I'll tell you what's even rarer. I've never heard Gabe tell that story. It's not even a story to him. Gabe is just the kind of wingman a guy like me will need for my plan to succeed. Gabe will keep me grounded. He'll shame me so I stay away from the pits. I've decided I'll only bet sports, and that I won't go near the tables where the serpents lie in coil to offer me free meals and free rooms and other expensive things. This will allow me the time I need to properly handicap the day's games. I decide to bet mostly on baseball, because baseball is the easiest sport to predict. Why did I insist on Adam Egott coming along on this trip? It's not because he's a friend. My plan has no place for friends. It's not because of his pretty green eyes, either. The fact is that Adam Egott, the dolt's dolt, possesses a particular type of magic. Adam Egott knows nothing about sports and will often say things like, "Why do different baseball teams wear different uniforms? That doesn't seem fair." Or, "Why do they call it a hockey stick anyways?" But Adam Egott can pick winners. Out of the blue, he'll go into a sort of a trance. And then, the way a robot might, he'll suddenly pronounce, "The New York Rangers will win their hockey match tonight." Or, "The Indianapolis Colts will win their football match tonight." And he'll have me scrambling to call my bookie. The problem is, he does this type of thing very rarely and without warning. But when he does, he is always right, always. He's like that squid that picks the winner of the World Cup once every 4 years. He is very good at exactly one thing. The rest of the time, Adam Egott is just a stupid squid. Gabe slides into the back seat of the Challenger. "Gabe, Adam Egott. Adam Egott, Gabe." With pleasantries taken care of, it is time to be on our way. "Listen, boys, before we hit the strip, what do you say we go to the El Cortez and get some fried bread?" The fellows think this is a capital idea, and so we go and eat breakfast and talk, like civilized gentlemen in the middle of this jungle of vipers. I notice as we drink our coffee that Adam Egott's eyes are not on Gabe or on me. He is looking beyond us, somewhere in the middle distance. I just assume he is gazing at his bleak and certain future. But no, I turn my head and see he is staring at a lady who is waiting to be seated. She is dressed sexy as hell, in a tight dress and high heels. "Fellows," Adam Egott says, "I think I'll go and introduce myself to the future, Mrs. Adam Egott." I wish him good luck and watch as he approaches her, as he offers her a cigarette, as he stands too close to her. but she doesn't seem to mind. Wonder if he'll close the deal. What are the odds, Gabe? Gabe hasn't been paying attention as the fried bread and molasses has arrived, but he looks over and studies the pair closely. Well, Norm, to answer your question, I'd say the odds are good, but the goods are odd. No way. Seriously, Gabe? You think that's a dude? Well, look at the way she dresses and talks and moves. You ever see a lady act that sexy? Gabe is right. Only dudes act as sexy as this lady. I better go warn Adam Egget. But it's too late. They are gone. Gabe and I head over to the Mirage. It makes me feel strong as I walk the floor and easily pass the blackjack and craps tables, feeling no pull. It helps to have Gabe beside me, knowing that if I stop at a table, he'll call me a jackass. When we get to my suite, I pull out my laptop and scour the baseball standings to find any trends. I'll be up early the next day to see the Pinnacle lines. Pinnacle is an offshore betting site that always has truer odds than Vegas. Information is everything. I am proud to see that Gabe is proud of me. Gabe tosses me the drugs. So, I'm interested to hear a plan that needs 10K worth of dilaudid. Well, I'm trying to play smart this time, Gabe. You see, I'm playing for my life, and if I win, I'm a millionaire. I take out the Surrettes and the brochures from Montana and explain my plan. Gabe looks at me for a long time and then smiles. So, you bet a million and you either win a million or lose everything, including your life. It's double or nothing. I like it. Double or nothing. Only Gabe would think of it that way. And we laugh together at whatever it is men laugh at when all else is lost. We order way too much room service, which is what men do when food is comped. And as soon as we hang up the phone, there's a knock on the door, and one of us says, "That was fast," which is what men say when that happens. It is Adam Egget. "Hey, why didn't you phone? I told you I lost my BlackBerry, remember? It has my sponsor's number on it. But I didn't drink. One day at a time, right?" "Right, right. I thought you'd end up at one of those tiny chapels with some Elvis impersonator marrying you and that dude," I say. "That was no dude. Her name was Sammy, with an I, and she was crazy in the sack, real aggressive." "Yeah, whatever. Get yourself a soda while we wait for the room service." "Oh, thanks, I will. But she's definitely not a dude." Look at the coffee table. Tell me what you see, Adam Egget. "It's a wine glass full of nickels." "That's right. You will use those nickels to play your favorite game." Adam Egget's face lights up like a child's birthday cake. "Video Keno?" "Yes, Video Keno. But first, you use a few of the nickels to buy the Las Vegas Review-Journal and look at the sports lines. And if you find a winner, you tell me, okay?" "Sure, boss, sure. I'll start right now." So Adam Egget goes and returns with a newspaper and scans the next day's lines, but he falls into no trance and finally grows tired of it and turns to the funny pages to read Marmaduke, and he laughs really hard. Then he sees the food that's arrived in his absence and fills his face with shrimp and steak. He eats fast, like gluttons do, and much of the food spills from his mouth and falls to his shirt. Gabe is on his iPad, running simulations of something, and I lie back on the couch and take stock of myself. I feel great excitement at what lies ahead. The enormity of the stakes, the idea of a game being played for life and death, does not sober me, but instead does the opposite. I feel drunk with confidence. A simple piece of logic convinces me I will win. I cannot conceive of my own death, and since a loss would result in such, it follows that I cannot conceive of my own loss. My father passed away many years before my gambling compulsion was born, he would not have approved. Every Sunday when I was a boy, my Aunt Laura would buy a lottery ticket, always making sure she used the identical numbers. The ticket only cost a dollar, but my father called it foolishness and often counseled my aunt to quit this habit. One Sunday, my aunt was over for dinner, and as we were finishing dessert, she jumped from her chair. "Oh my goodness, I almost forgot to get my ticket. I better go before Barclays closes." "Oh, why don't you skip it this week, Laura?" my dad said. "But I can't," said my aunt. "They're my lucky numbers. What if I were to skip this week and my lucky numbers hit?" My dad wiped some gravy from his lips and looked at his sister. "Well, Laura, if that were to happen, I would say they were not your lucky numbers. I would say they were your unlucky numbers." Well, I busted a gut at that one. I look over at Gabe and think he would have liked my dad. Gabe always tells me, luck is for losers. I plan to keep this firmly in my mind whenever I feel lucky, whenever I feel I can beat a dealer or a croupier. The money will all come from the sports book. I know that with patience and research, I can beat the odds. After all, I had beat the odds before, again and again. For blackjack or baccarat or roulette, you need exceedingly good luck, but nowhere near the luck it takes to succeed in show business without a shred of talent. So I sit the boys down and explain to them how a punk doing stand-up comedy in Canada decided to go to Hollywood and roll the dice on Mr. Johnny Carson.